This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Lakers Fast Break family, and welcome into the Lakers vs. Cavs post-game show. And guys, we did it. We did it. We did it. We did it. We are now officially the eighth seed, guys. Man, I'm not going to lie, guys. I am happy.
I'm ecstatic, to be honest with you, because if we can lock in this eighth seed, guys, you know what that does? That changes absolutely everything. And now, instead of one playing game, we get two. But anyway, welcome in, everybody. Lakers beat Cavs 116-97. I'm filling in here for Gerald. Gerald, unfortunately, could not make it today. He is being a great father for his daughter. So, Gerald, keep on being that great father. Sunday. Hey, what's good, boy? He said, let's go, man. Tell me about it, bro. Tell me about it. I am so freaking happy because, like I mentioned in the beginning, man, we now secure this eighth seed. And just talk about a game for the Lakers, man. Talk about a game. I'm talking about LeBron finished with 24 points, 12 assists. Anthony Davis, 22 and 13 rebounds. D'Angelo Russell came up big, had 28 points. Torian Prince went 4 of 5 from the three-point line for a total of 18 points tonight. This was one of those rare, great Torian Prince games. Sunday, hey, you dang right, brother. We got the Timberwolves tomorrow, and we got to get a big win tomorrow against the Timberwolves. So looking forward to that. But man, Blue Magic said, let's go. See, everybody is at the same, has the same energy I got right now, which is upbeat. We happy, we ecstatic, we ready to go. We do got the number one seed, I believe, the Timberwolves as of the time of recording or time of live. Timberwolves are the number one seed, so we do got the number one seed tomorrow. But hey, man, it's all good. They ain't got no Karl Anthony Towns. So hey, man, maybe we could get that done too. Blue Magic said, John, we kept Mitchell to 10 points. What a great just take, because I think that was one of the most underrated part of this game, y'all. We kept Donovan Mitchell to 10 points, and it's not like he just wasn't hitting. No, we were making it difficult for him. We were throwing all types of different looks at him, all types of different defenders at him. He played a whole 38 minutes and only had 10 points. I feel like that was a big differential this game for us. But man, I'm happy we're sitting here at the eighth seed. I do believe that we have two guests joining us here shortly. Joe, as always, you know, he'll pop up here shortly, and I believe we'll have somebody else. But guys, talk about a good Saturday. Talk about a way to kick off your Saturday. First Saturday of the month, I believe, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is the first Saturday of the month, and we get a win. And not only do we get a win, we get an important win and move on to the eighth seed, man. Let me see. Sunday, A, Gabe played good defense on him. Yes, honestly, guys, Gabe has been – he hasn't been the offensive productivity that I was looking for, but tonight he had 0 points, and as of late, he's been the same way. But as far as defense, I do think that played some good defense tonight on Donovan Mitchell and just made it tough for him. We're making it tough for them, throwing a lot of different looks their direction. Lifted said, John, any idea why Reddish didn't play? Honestly, I don't. I don't know. He did. He got a straight DNP. It's not like like even Maxwell Lewis and Christie and Castleton. They got 1 or 2 minutes, but Cam didn't see the floor tonight. Got a DNP for Darvin Ham. Condor, appreciate you, brother. He said, John, you're the GOAT. I'm not the GOAT, man. You guys are the GOAT. You guys that are in this chat right here with us after this Lakers game, you guys are the real GOATs, because you guys are what keeps the channel going. You guys are what keeps me going, man. So appreciate you guys being locked in. Sunday A said, Cam be tripping. That's why he don't play. What you mean, Sunday? I mean, Cam do be tripping. I ain't gonna lie, but what in specific do you mean by Cam be tripping? We got it saying because he's been playing terrible. He has been playing terrible, but I do believe that with our slim pickings, with what we have as far as like perimeter defenders, I think that we gotta play Cam when we're going up against a team that has such an elite perimeter players, and Donovan Mitchell, who we held to 10 points tonight, and Darius Garland. I was blanking on his name for a second. We miss, hey, Hi Octane. What's good? What's the deal, brother? Nice to see you. Said we missed our free throws today, but we pulled through. Damn right we pulled through. We missed our free throws, High Octane. I will agree with you, but you know what we did not miss? We were not missing from the three-point line. We shot 43% from the three-point line as a team tonight. Considering that we are not a great three-point shooting team, man, this looks good. Joe's in the building. There he is with the Punisher on the background. That's what we're doing right now, Joe. We punishing the rest of the league. We in the AC, Joe. I'm turned up. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I missed a little bit of the beginning of the game.
Okay.
And came in when they were up 13, and then Cleveland was starting to make a little run. Then they ended up tying it. Then they ended up going up by four. Then the Lakers dropped 19-0 run on them. And I said, yeah, this is different. This is starting to look a little different now. Every time the Lakers make mistakes now, they make up for them rather quickly. And they did in that third quarter. And then they followed that up with the fourth quarter, maintaining the lead with AD out for, I think it was 5.5 minutes. They had only lost a couple points since he had sat down, and then AD came back and put it to 12 on that. I believe it was that putback rebound that Cleveland was sitting around with their thumbs up their butts. And that was it. After that, I think Cleveland just said, you know what? We're done. We want to go home. I don't know what happened to Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if that mask jacked up his shot in L.A. I remember Kobe wore that mask for the first time. Usually they always wore the clear ones. Kobe was the first one to wear the black mask. But he didn't wear it too long. It didn't fit well for him. He couldn't see. I guess it doesn't work at the Crypt, or formerly the Staples Center. But hell of a win. Absolutely hell of a win. They got a couple more here at home. Let's see if they can close this out at home before the playoffs start. And, man, we need Phoenix to lose a couple games here, man. There might be a small shot at getting that sixth seed. I'm starting to now feel the sixth seed now. They're 100%, but I'm starting to feel it. I know we haven't gotten to seven yet. We haven't solidified eight yet. But at this point, win the next four games, hope for two losses by Phoenix, and you got the sixth seed. It's as simple as that.
Joe, yes, yes. And you know what's crazy, Joe, is a couple streams ago, you were talking about the realistic chance of us getting to that sixth seed. And honestly, I was following you a little bit, but I was like, yeah, I don't know about that, Joe. The inconsistent play that we've had all season long. But after now, we're on a four-game winning streak, I believe, now after this win. We're putting together a great stretch at a very important time. So, Joe, I'm right there with you. I think that that six seed could be a lot more attainable than what people realize. Just want to show some love to people in the chat here. Southern Comfort said, John, I can't lie. I got scared I got very scared when the Cavaliers went on a 13-2 run in the beginning of the third quarter. And I mean, coming into the third, we were up by, I believe, 12 points. They went on a 13-2 run, tied this game up. That definitely had me a little spooked, but and then we responded by going on a 17-0 run of our own to combat to that. Joe, let me ask you though, tonight you had a, you know, if Adam Silver said, Joe, we need you to decide who was the MVP of this game, who you going with, Joe?
I have to go with Anthony Davis.
I like that.
He was an absolute terror on defense. I don't even think his numbers said how much of a terror he was. And he was pretty damn good on offense, too. It started out with D'Angelo just cooking. And see, and that's my thing, is just have each guy cooking each quarter and you're fine. Mm-hmm. Have D'Lo cooking in the first. Have AD cooking in the second. Have LeBron cooking in the third. And LeBron, by the way, played awesome tonight. And then if you can, you know, get one of the role players to cook any other quarter there, because I'm going to depend on D'Lo, I'm going to depend on AD, and I'm going to depend on LeBron. If those guys can own each quarter, and then a role player can own another quarter the whole way, and that's essentially what's happened. Torian Prince had a really, really, really good game tonight. Maybe his best game of as a Laker. That might be the best game he's had here.
Agreed.
This year, I should say. So it's a team thing though. In the end, it's all team done. Austin made a mistake. I remember I think it was in the fourth, and then made up for it right away. And those are the things that I look for. Those are the mental positives, because it's as much as it is physical. Mental stuff is very important, especially when you meet a team that's much more athletic, much more able to do things physically. Hey, you doing, Sean? That you can't. Well, the mental part needs to play into that fundamentally, scheme-wise, execution-wise. Those are the things that separate, or at least evens out the playing field a little bit. And then, of course, AD and LeBron, who are all-time greats, still playing as well as they are, can move that around. And that right there, I wanted to talk about that a little bit more. When they were hitting the wall, you had – this is why having superstars is paramount. They can get you buckets. That is the difference. Superstars get you buckets, especially in those moments. And when they maintain that kind of lull with at least some points, the second you get your rhythm back, other guys get the rhythm back, boom, the floodgates will open. And, of course, the Lakers had a really, really big one. Going 19-0 after being down 4 there in the third, and that seems to be the theme now with the Lakers. They're making up for their bad decisions very, very quickly and efficiently, and it's resulting in wins.
Absolutely, and I mean, tonight was the definition of that. I mean, this game was the definition of runs. Cavs going to runs, and we going to runs, and we make up for that. But Bloodhound said, nice, enjoyable game for a Saturday afternoon, which I absolutely agree. And you know what else is nice? When you get to see one of the GOATs, Sean Grice, Magic Man. Sean, how are you doing, brother? How are you feeling about this Lakers win 116-97 against the Cavs?
Appreciate the strong intro, Johnny. I really do, brother. You know what? Hopefully this will be a recurring theme now. Starting to get back into the swing of things. And quite honestly, man, I was jacked up. I thought, man, the schedule makers did it to us again. Like, for some reason, I thought the Cavs would put up a stinker against the Clips, which they absolutely did. And for some reason, I thought they'd roll out of bed and just... I wasn't thinking it was going to be a blowout or anything, but I thought somehow their circadian rhythms would just like magically flip a switch and they give us a go. But I'm so thrilled. about this victory. I was hoping for a win. Deep down, I really wanted this victory. I mean, tomorrow night, whatever happens, happens. I hope we win that game. But I was thinking if we could get this Cavs game and we get 1.5 games up on the Kings, and by the way, now they're looking up at us. It was very fortuitous because we're playing our best ball at the right time, and that's what they got to do at this point. I mean, there's no looking back. We can look back all we want about the January and February, but we pulled it out, brother. We pulled it out. 12 games over 500. You know, if it was a different year, Johnny, we'd be fighting for like a 3-5 spot right now, but it's just, the Western Conference is like sardines packed in a tin can with the competitiveness. So I'm just thrilled with the victory. And man, I got to say, that sequence with Austin Reeves really showed where this team's guts are. Like they're just playing on pure guts and emotion right now. And obviously we know their NBA players are going to play with smarts, but that sequence typified the kind of guts that they're playing with right now.
Absolutely. Well, it's very, very nice to have you back, Sean. Love the takes, loved what you bring to the table. And I mean, everybody in the chat here is showing much love. So very happy to have you back.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cool.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts.
But Sean, I got to ask you a question that I asked Joe. I said, if Adam Silver came up to you and said, Sean, we need you to decide who was the MVP of this game. Joe went with Anthony Davis, and I'm on Joe's side here. Are you agreeing with us, or are you going another direction? We got some big predictions from other players tonight as well.
I would say, you know, first half, D'Lo gets a gold star. But, yeah, overall, I would say Anthony Davis gets the MVP of the game. But honorable mention goes to D'Lo.
I like that. And no left for Torian Prince tonight. Went 4-5 from the three-point line.
Torian's shot was on point, man. Even when he missed, I thought he was going to make it. It was all swish tonight.
It definitely was, man. Talk about a great Lakers win. And for anybody that is just joining us here, Lakers got the win against the Cleveland Cavaliers, 116-97. Led by, honestly, a great team effort by the Lakers, but led by LeBron James, led by D'Angelo Russell, excuse me, who had 28 points. LeBron James, 24 points, 12 assists. Anthony Davis, 22 points, 13 rebounds. And Torian Prince came off the bench hot. And like how Sean mentioned, hit 4 of 5 three-pointers and finished 18. But I think one of the, at least in my opinion, storylines of this game had to be the fact that Donovan Mitchell, the man who earlier in the season people were touting him as in the MVP conversations. That man is held to a minuscule 10 points tonight. He goes two of nine from the 3-point line and four of 13 from the field. Guys, any takeaways that you guys saw from that? I don't know if Joe or Magic Man, whatever, you know, whoever wants to hop on here first, but is there any takeaways you guys saw as to what we did to force him to have those such a bad shooting night tonight?
I just thought it was rallying on second efforts. That's what I saw, John. Got to hand it to JB Bickerstaff. He runs a lot of really nice, tight sets offensively, and usually Cleveland's pretty good at executing them, but those second and third sequences where the initial setup wasn't there, they rallied around one another, and man, having AD back there, just kind of quarterback the defense, it's having Anthony out there, it's really having two players out there. It's almost as if he sees the play before it's happening, and then he can react to it. It's almost like there are two Anthony Davises out on the court when he's really focused defensively. And, it can kind of make it seem like it's 6-on-5 sometimes. And I think, having that big tree back there really made a difference.
Absolutely. Joe, what are you in agreement with that, or how do you feel about that?
I think we just lucked out that he didn't have a good game. I didn't see anything specific that they did to stop Donovan Mitchell, except maybe, let other guys shoot the ball.
Okay.
The other issue that they had besides Donovan Mitchell I'm sorry, I'm getting my thoughts here. Jared Allen had a terrible game. He made up some of the points towards the end there, but he was kind of non-existent the first three quarters. And that guy kind of he's the engine in a lot of ways for that team to get going. He had to deal with Anthony Davis playing at peak Anthony Davis, and playing against peak Anthony Davis is a really, really, really
hard thing to deal with
for 48 minutes, because you don't know what you have to what to do. He's going to shoot at the elbow. He's going to go to the hoop. AD and LeBron were finding each other left and right. He was on his head was on a swivel and he couldn't catch up. And that's something that's starting to develop a little more here. And even this talented as guys like Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen are, they're starting to see what greatness is when it's a fine-tuned machine. And that fine-tuned machine works a little bit better, too, when you have the role players doing their job, which they are. D'Angelo Russell was just off the charts at the beginning of the game. And I missed a lot of it, but I was able to go back and watch some of it while we're at halftime. And it's all we're asking for, folks. It's all we're asking for. If the role players, you guys help LeBron and AD, they'll take you home, man. They've done it before. You can't say they haven't done it before. And I'm not talking about them winning championships. AD, for those of you who don't know, has won every important championship in basketball. In-season play, in-season tournament, I know isn't considered legit, at least not right now. But even that, he won. He's won the FIBA. He's won the Olympics. He's won an NCAA championship. He's won an NBA title. More than that, LeBron and AD have won together. So if these guys continue to do what they're doing here, and the Lakers can play anyone other than Denver in the first round, the Lakers have, if they play like this, a very scary, scary chance of doing something.
Scary, scary is true, Joe.
Not for us. Not for the Lakers. For the opponent.
That is true, Joe. And I actually was just prior to the Lakers game.
Cleveland is not tanking, Scarlett.
Yeah, come on. Scarlett.
They're a fit seed. They could end up in the Eastern Conference Finals this year.
Yeah, we definitely got some people saying some crazy things in the chat, like saying that. I seen someone earlier say, Timothy, I feel like you're not giving us enough love, man. Come on,
Timothy,
man.
Timothy or Timothy?
I don't know.
It's Timothy. That's Timothy.
Anyway, so everybody in the chat, we appreciate you guys, whether you're showing love or hating, because you know what?
Did I say fifth? I meant third. Sorry, guys.
All publicity is good publicity. So anyway, whether you guys are hating or not, we're here for it, because guess what? The Lakers are now sitting in the eighth seed, guys. And Joe, you mentioned exactly what I want to get to next is, I mean, as of today, which is Saturday, April 6th, we do sit in the eighth seed, which would mean the season ended. We play the Pelicans in that first round of the play-in matchup. We win that. Then we get faced with the second seed, which right now is the Nuggets, because they do not have the tiebreaker against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So as far as that, we all know we don't want to face the Nuggets. How are you guys strategically trying to go about the rest of the season? Is there any ducking of smoking that we should be doing, or any maybe intentionally losing some games, or are we trying to go all the way? You understand what I'm saying, Joe? Because
no, you can't lose any games. You got to get the six.
Okay.
You got to have the mindset of going after six right now,
which plays three seed.
Correct. And that's it. If you don't get there, fine. But the six seed guarantees you a playoff spot without having to play an extra game or two.
Things are setting up. Whereas if we win out, a lot of things can happen right now. The Kings, Johnny, weren't going to live with not being unhealthy for two straight years. It wasn't going to happen. It never happens in any sport. You cannot go two straight years without the injury bug hitting you some way, somehow. Just so happens it hit them as they were riding on that train towards the end of the year, and now they're sliding. They've lost three of their last four. We've made up a game and a half on them in less than half a week. The Suns have the hardest schedule. They play the Wolves twice and the Clippers twice. So even if they split those games, the Lakers win out, they make up at least two games on the Suns as of right now. And not to mention, oh my gosh, as much as that loss to the Spurs hurt earlier in the year, they did us a huge favor punking the Pelicans, because that's huge. That's huge, considering the fact that New Orleans and Sacramento play this Thursday night. So as long as we keep winning, you're making at least a game up on one of those two teams. So sixth seed is not unrealistic at this point, and they just got to keep winning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am I'm right there with you guys. Sixth seed, yeah, that means that we'd play the three seed, which right now as of today is Oklahoma City Thunder. Sean, I don't believe I've gotten your take on this. Joe, I believe we've already talked about this, but please, you know, feel free to jump in. Who are you trying to strategically face in that first round? Because we all know it's not Denver. We don't want that Denver matchup, even though Lakers 24 here in the chat. Lakers fan 24 here. Let me show his chat some love. He said this year's Nuggets is beatable. I don't know about that against our Lakers squad. So who are you trying to face between that Oklahoma City Thunder and the number one seed right now?
Honestly, I know what likely needs to happen, which is it's better to play Oklahoma City or Minnesota in the first round.
Yep.
However, if Phoenix loses their next game, it's really going to get interesting, especially if the Lakers win tomorrow. The Lakers win tomorrow, there's a very big possibility they win out. Tomorrow is the big one. Tomorrow is the game that this game meant something, because tomorrow means just as much. You have to win today to make tomorrow even more important. Minnesota's playing for a number one seed. So if they beat the Lakers tomorrow and are up, let's say, one game against Denver, should they lose the next game, then they're up two games because they own the tiebreaker. It's very likely they end up with the one seed. And I don't know how that factors in later. If the Lakers get the 8 seed, that might be a better solution for them. But I'm thinking 6 at the moment. If you get 6, you can get the best of both worlds. You can avoid probably Denver, because I think Denver gets the 1 or the 2 no matter what. And then depending on how that plays out, will determine who they play in the second round. So many scenarios. It's just best to wait another week. It's just too many scenarios. Once these things are solidified, then I'll be able to tell you what likely will happen. But there's too much moving around. The West is just nuts. It's the greatest conference run I've ever seen in sports. The NFC, at least in my lifetime, the NFC between 1984 and 1998, until Denver beat Green Bay in Super Bowl 32, was the most dominant conference I've ever seen in sports. They just whooped the AFC in Super Bowls nonstop. This run from 1999, while it wasn't all, wins for the West, I just haven't seen at any point ever since 1999 where the West was lesser than the East. That's as crazy a run as you can imagine. You're talking 25 years, a quarter of a century, where a conference has dominated another conference. So much so that they were talking about doing a pool playoff. That's how bad it's gotten. But with that, it is what it is. The Lakers are going to have to go through the gauntlet. For those of you who don't know what the origin of the gauntlet is, and I know Sean loves telling these kind of stories, I usually let him do it, but I'm going to pull a Sean since he's come back for the first time in a few weeks. The gauntlet is what I believe the Shawnee used to run, and the other Indian tribes might have done it as well, but documented, the one I read was the Shawnees. The Shawnees would make settlers run through the gauntlet while they just pounded them. Just imagine the on a football field where the running back goes through the crowd, the two sides, same concept, except they were using axes and sharp weapons and spears. Most didn't make it through. Daniel Boone made it through, though. Daniel Boone, that's why he's a legend. But this is what this is, guys, because this might be the easiest part of this run. The Lakers, should they get in the playoffs, are going to have to then spend 4 series to get to their goal, which is always a championship. This team was assembled to win a championship. And that in itself is going to be the gauntlet. That's what's really unprecedented, should it be accomplished. And a legacy of two players that goes into another stratosphere, should it happen. That is a discussion we can discuss probably in a week and a half, once this last week of the NBA regular season is done.
Yep. And to jump in here real quick, yes, we do miss our original GOAT, Gerald. There's no replacing the GOAT mentator, Gerald Glassford. And then to get to another one of these, Joe's like, psh, come on. But to get to another one of these comments, Scarlet and Blue, come on. I cannot agree with this. I just simply cannot agree with this. I actually think that this team is much better, much more built for the playoffs versus built for the regular season. So I just personally cannot get with this. I actually, like I was saying earlier, I was recording an episode prior to the Lakers game starting for Clutch Talk, which is my NBA talk show page. And I was saying that, playoff wise, like not a one game, not 82 game season, like playoff wise, where I'm going to get to play you in a 7-game series and you got to beat me 4 times before I beat you. I honestly don't think that there are too many teams besides the Denver Nuggets that would be better than us in a 7-game series, to be honest. I know it sounds crazy because we've been struggling. It's in at the 8th seed, their 9th seed, but playoff basketball is just a lot different than regular season basketball, especially when you have a play that you can just abuse every single time, which is that LeBron James and Anthony Davis pick and roll that's just going to honestly cause a mismatch every single time. Sean, what's up, brother?
I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. And shout out to Scarlet Blue. Love having him in the comment section. But you're just a prisoner of the moment right now, brother. That's what your big problem is. First of all, you're not a student of history, because just last year, two teams from the play-in got one got to the Western Conference Finals and the other one got to the NBA Finals. So, you know, your acute history is way off, man. Not to mention the fact that it's a historical objective fact. when you're playing well at like the 6-7 week mark towards the end of the year, it don't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you play. It's how you're playing. That's why a lot of commentators and analysts often bring up the fact that if I was an opposing team, or if I was an opposing coach, I wouldn't want to play this team right now. And the fact of the matter is that because we are who we are, there's that kind of noise is going to get quelled because a lot of people don't want to make too much out of it. But it's true. Whether or not people want to admit it, it's in the back of their mind. And again, you know, Denver's battle tested. That blue collar bunch, I think they're the only team that doesn't have a sweat coming off their brow when it comes to us. But Mark Daigneault and Chris Finch and whoever else is saying, man, I really don't want to play the Lakers in the first round. Especially Chris Finch, because even if Kat is healthy, the Lakers have proven time and time again that they can neutralize somebody like Karl Anthony Towns. And especially if he's coming off a serious injury. Oh, brother, let's put Rui on him and just live with the results. You know, the Thunder don't really scare me either, John. They're a very good team, well coached. Got a few really smart players, but they don't scare me in the same way another team. If they had a bunch of vets with them, I'd feel differently. Like if this was the Mavs from 11, might feel slightly different, but they're young bucks, you know. They're playing, I think they're playing above their head right now. So we could go down the line, but it doesn't matter who you play, it's how you're playing. Aside from the Lakers and the Heat, different sport, but normally in hockey, the best team doesn't always win. Last season, the Florida Panthers made the playoffs on the last game of the season, and they ended up playing the big, bad Boston Bruins, who had a season of seasons, set record for points, wins, regulation wins. They were up 3-1 in the series, and they got punked. Florida outed them, and they ended up going all the way to the Stanley Cup final. So it doesn't matter who you play, it's how you're playing, and we're playing the right way, John. So you know, call it's not arrogance, and it's not a sense of conceit. It's the Lakers are playing their best ball at the right time, and that's all that matters.
Absolutely, we absolutely are playing the right basketball at the right time, which is why we have now snuck in to that eighth seed, which makes me very happy. Once again, if anybody is joining us, Lakers got a win against Cleveland Cavaliers, 116-97. We have the great Magic Man joining us here, with the one and only Joe, the Punisher. Joe, give me some thoughts on as far as who are you trying to face in as far as playoffs. Do you like OKC more, or do you like Timberwolves more? Who would you rather see?
I actually like OKC more.
Okay, why?
I don't think Chet Holmgren is conditioned enough to deal with an Anthony Davis. There's no one on the Thunder that can handle LeBron James, and they're young. they're formidable, but they're a little young. Young teams typically don't play well in the playoffs. So they'd have to get up, they'd have to kick into another gear there that we haven't seen. And I don't see it, especially if the Lakers are on a roll. If they continue this roll and they're healthy, it's going to be difficult to beat that team, even if they have their own court. Now, that's the other part that has me worried, too, is location. The West has too many teams that could be considered an East team. Minnesota, Memphis, Oklahoma City. We obviously don't need to worry about Memphis. The problem, though, is we are traveling to Memphis. The Lakers are traveling to Memphis the last game, and then they have to go to New Orleans after that. That travel is kind of sucks. I almost want an upset that where the Clippers win and the Lakers face them. Let's say if the Lakers are fortunate to beat Minnesota or Oklahoma City, should they face them, I want them to play the Clippers in the second round because they don't have to travel. That would be an assist. And that would be an assist to the Lakers, not having to travel. And then I still say Denver's going to make it to the Western Conference Finals. Who they play there is the debate now. Who would it be? Can the Lakers return? Can they make a run again this year? I'll have a better idea in a week or so, but we're going to be here to see if they can. We desperately want them to. We felt differently a month ago. I did. I felt differently even 2 weeks ago. But if they're going to win out here and they happen to manage a six seed, let's say, I don't think you could argue that there's something going on that's positive, that there might be more of a chance now than we thought. And that's what we've been waiting for. I would have preferred it a couple weeks ago, but I'll take it now. I've been enjoying the basketball a lot. I really have.
Me too. And Joe, I'm in agreement with you. I think that I would rather see Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Minnesota Timberwolves, really because of not only just their inexperience, but also because of exactly what you said. Chet just isn't going to be able to hold Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis being our biggest strong suit, and Chet like really not being able to hold him anywhere, because I think like what really separates Chet from other bigs in this league is the fact that he can bring it out. Like he can come out to the 3-point line, he can come out to the perimeter, and for some bigs, like, that's a real issue. Thankfully, that's not a real issue for Anthony Davis. So wherever Chet wants to get it, whether it's inside, AD can dominate that. If we know that even a player like Jusuf Nurkić had 31 rebounds against Chet the other night, so we know if that's what Nurkić can do, Anthony Davis decides to bring that dog in him that night, he's going to be able to handle that. Even if Chet wants to come out, Anthony Davis can handle that pressure as well too. With the Timberwolves, my biggest concern is them always having that secondary roaming big and roaming defender. Even if Karl Anthony Towns is out, let's say Naz Reid is in, they put Naz Reid as the primary defender on Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis gives him all the shoulders in the world, moves him out of the way because he's too little for him. But then we all know Rudy Gobert can come up for help side, cleaning the glass up. So that will make it tough for us, which is why I prefer that we see the Oklahoma City Thunder. And like how Magic Man said, they're just playing it like over their head at this point. But Magic Man, are you in agreement with us? Would you rather see OKC or would you rather see the Timberwolves?
You know what? I can make a case for either one. I think the better matchup would be the Thunder, no doubt about it. I think another point we should get across here, Johnny, and not a lot of people are talking about this, but I get the feeling that Michael Malone and the Nuggets really don't care who they play. So it wouldn't shock me at all if he rests Jokic the last two games of the season, or me, definitely last game. And if I was Mark Dagnault, I would think very, very cautiously about sitting SGA as well. I'm not sure what Finch and them are doing, but you know, all it would take is, you know, an ankle turns the wrong way. And, you know, Jokic has a high ankle sprain. He's out for the for the first round, maybe two rounds. That's a risk you're not willing to take. So I think a lot of people also need to keep in mind Denver especially, but I also think the Thunder will rest their players these last two or three games.
Oh, sorry about that. I was couldn't click the unmute button, but yes, absolutely. I had to keep mute myself. My daughter's in taking a shower. She's not too happy about that. So she's in there throwing a temper tantrum. Didn't want the Lakers Fast Break family to have to hear that. And just show some more love to you, Sean. We got Eduardo saying he's missed you. He said, "Oh, Magic Man, I've missed you." he said, Nightcap/Magic. Hey, man, I don't know. Maybe so, but we will have the Nightcap.
We'll be on tonight at 8.
Yes.
Standard time.
Yes, sir. Standard time, 8 p.m. Come Pacific. Did I not say standard? I said Pacific.
That's not standard.
What standard?
I'm the standard.
You're the standard. So Joe's time. 8 p.m. Joe's time. All right, guys. So 8 p.m. Joe's time tonight. Nightcap. But man, guys, talk about a win. And then tomorrow, we do face the number one seed Minnesota Timberwolves. What are some keys to this game for tomorrow that you're looking forward to, Magic Man? And then, Joe, you can hop up on here right after and just let me know, what are you looking forward to for this game tomorrow as we face the number one seed Timberwolves?
Well, you know, it was a combination. I watched that game against Phoenix, John, and it was a combination of a couple things. One, they shot terribly to start the game, but also Frank Vogel had set up some really nice defensive assignments and ran a lot of you know, hybrid defenses, especially when Anthony Edwards was on the perimeter. You know, I'd highly suggest, and I hope that Coach Ham watches some of that tape. I'd take advantage of AD again on the inside. There's no Karl Anthony Towns there. And quite frankly, I think if you get Naz Reid or Rudy in trouble, Finch he overthinks things when either one of those two guys is in foul trouble, especially with his rotations. And especially with them, you know, Jalen Clark hasn't played all year. They've really missed him. So their guard play has really nosedived a little bit as well. So if you could get a really good game out of two of the three, D'Lo, Austin Reeves, Gabe Vincent, combined with an AD usual effort, and you know, sprinkle in some Rui, or potentially LeBron, I think he could beat the Wolves. I think they could be had here. They're choppy. Let's just be honest. Their play has been choppy the past 6 weeks. They really started out on a tear for the first 2 months, but the play has been choppy over the past month and a half. So I think he can beat them.
Joe?
I don't know.
What do you know? How's it going?
I think we've overanalyzed over everything at this point.
Yeah.
The Lakers are playing a certain way right now, and they need to continue to do that.
Simple as that. Put the ball in the basket.
They need to continue to play the way they've played mentally. Mentally, they're hitting bad spots and covering their bad spots immediately. I don't think it matters who they play anymore. I think we all have seen this in the last couple of weeks. Doesn't matter if you're crap. Doesn't matter if you're good. Doesn't matter if you're on the road. Doesn't matter if you're in the at the crypt. Either way, they're playing very, very well. And at this point, it's time to just win the games. You win the games the rest of the way, you probably guarantee the 7 and have a shot at the 6. You get the 7, let's say, that means you're going to likely play Sacramento or that's probably Sacramento. Because I think Phoenix wins out if I had to pick. Which is interesting. Which is really, really interesting if that's how it plays out. The Sacramento Kings swept the Lakers this year. If the Lakers end up getting the 7 and meet Sacramento in the play-in, and they beat Sacramento, Sacramento's depression continues. And this is not a 24-year depression from 2002. This is a depression since the inception of the NBA. When the Sacramento Kings were the Rochester Royals. The Rochester Royals got over on the Lakers in 1951. That's it. But they weren't even Sacramento when that happened. In 1951, Rochester Royals won a championship in an era where the Lakers were the first dynasty. And that little, you know, monkey in the or the wrench, whatever you want to call it, cost the Lakers 6 straight championships. Can the Sacramento Kings do it again? My parents weren't even born.
Damn, John.
So a little history lesson for everyone. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now, because I'm trying to – a little bit tells me that the Lakers are probably going to lose one more. Probably.
Well, let me pull up their upcoming schedule, and I want you to give me
I have no idea who they're going to lose to. It's going to be either Minnesota tomorrow or Golden State. I don't think they're going to lose to the Pelicans. I don't think they're going to lose to New Orleans.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it's going to be tomorrow or against the Golden State Warriors. However, if they win tomorrow, I feel much better that they beat Golden State. I know that doesn't probably make sense, but that's just how I feel.
I mean, knowing the Lakers, they'll probably like beat the best team and then lose to the worst team here. So
they're not doing that, though.
Yeah, but
they're not doing that. They're not gonna beat Minnesota, beat Golden State, and lose to Memphis. That's just not gonna happen.
Well, let's see.
I don't see that happening. It hasn't been happening.
They
can't afford to lose those games. See, that's the thing is, when you have LeBron James and AD playing healthy, those guys are gonna step up because there's no choice. It is a different mentality, and then everyone around them is pulling their weight on top of it.
You know, Joe, this is a really random thought, but they also said there would never be a black president. There was a black
president. That wasn't realistic, though.
That came off from the left field.
If you're going to say, well, Andrew Jackson, you know, in 1860 said, hey, if you're lucky, no. The reality is, I'm sure, even back then, if we were to live in a society we live in now, at some point that was going
to
happen.
Talk
it's
to
like
him.
There'll be a woman president at some point.
You think it'll happen, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Okay. Over or under in the next 20 years?
Woman president?
Yeah.
I'd say probably within our lifetime for sure.
Wow. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Magic Man? Anything to add on to that? Or
by the way, who said there would be a black president?
I don't know. I wasn't alive for that. I just know that.
No, that's just not. You got to be like Hans Landa. You ever seen Inglourious Basterds?
I have never seen that movie.
Oh my God, you got to watch it. One of the greatest roles ever played in movies. He even a Nazi knew the future.
Really?
A lot of Nazis knew that thing wasn't going to last. So they took advantage of it as much as they could with their gold and their money and their perks. If you're really smart and common sense driven, mm-hmm. you can really, really understand that some things are eventual. I think that's probably why we hit so many walls in life. People are so stubborn. They want things to stay the same. It's just not realistic.
Yeah, I hear you. Let me show some love to Kurt. Kurt, I appreciate you, brother. I am trying to fill in for Gerald, trying to do my
best. Alan makes a good point.
What did Alan
say? Barack Obama, because I heard something 2 weeks ago.
He's not black though, right?
Hold on. Well, look, here's the deal. This is something that one of my favorite people, Sean, you know, I love Ryan Clark. That's my guy. But he said something a few weeks back, and I was just like, wow. He said, who's the most authentic black quarterback that's number one in the NFL? Now, when I heard that, I'm paraphrasing, by the way. I heard the word authentic, and I almost, I mean, talk about facepalm. I'm like, I knew what it meant. I'm not stupid. But the fact that it was said, I'm going, all right, dude, what are you guys doing here? Mm-hmm. Seriously, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. Are we going to start going into authentic, pure mm-hmm. breed stuff now? Is that really where we're going to go with this discussion? So in the end, it's a subject that continues to hold water because it's entertaining. So I got an out on it. If Sean had asked that question, then it would look bad.
Yo, you got hilarious. Sean, do you have any input onto this?
Nope.
Sean's been quiet, man. This is hilarious.
Well, kind of turning over a new leaf here, and Gerald's bringing me back slowly, and he's asked me to be a team player.
So there you go.
Part of being a team player is knowing when to stay in your lane.
There you go. For anybody that is joining us here, thank you guys for tuning in. The Lakers beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 116-97, securing the eighth seed. Man.
What was that PC version you said before?
He's of darker descent.
Darker descent. Yeah, I got to write that down. I keep forgetting. All right, we're going deep into this, man.
No, we're so deep into this, guys.
That's not where it came from. But we might need to have a few drinks tonight if you want to come on, John.
On the nightcap.
John,
yes.
You might come on the nightcap. I think it's a little more loose on my show. We could talk more about
that. Yes, I love
that. I'm kind of a history guy. Sean, obviously, probably one of the best people I know in terms of history. Yeah, it's a complicated issue in a lot of ways. But again, I'm not afraid to talk about it. But I am. Gerald is sensitive to these kind of discussions on his show.
Hey,
because he's let it be
written, so let it be done, right? So, like, America had a black president before Canada ever did.
Hell yeah, brother.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like that.
That's a good one. Because like they're always all about that stuff, aren't they, up there? They like to talk,
yes.
Right? But do they do
yes.
it? England too, England, right?
You're right. Yeah, and the scorecard reads, America won, and the rest of the West, goose egg.
All right, we got Gerald here in the chat saying, let's talk Lakers,
He's
please.
Like, stop!
He's like, never again do I allow these hooligans to do this.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
Again, I think putting off the purple and gold glasses here, if you were looking at a team that was on the cusp of a play-in, possibly reaching a sixth seed, they've won 9 of 10 games. We only have 3 games left in the year. Do you want to see these guys? Because it's a different team. This, whoever plays them, the Nuggets, the Thunder, the Wolves, you're playing a different Lakers team. all that tape that you watched in November and December, you got to burn it because this is a completely different team. Your defensive tempos won't have the same effect. Your sets won't have the same effect. Your scouting reports are very, very different now. And by the way, I got to give a shout out here to Spence because he's played a level of defense on the Lakers that I haven't seen him play since he was in Brooklyn. He's playing like he is 6'5". He's using his length a lot. He's using his smarts. He's playing like he's 31. You know, and good on him, John, because during the previous nightcap, I was admitting to Joe that, you know, a small part of me wanted Spence to sign with the Lakers just as an ode for Kobe because, you know, Kobe recognized, you know, Spence's abilities before pretty much the rest of the NBA did. And, you know, when he was kind of down on himself that one year they were blistering, right? D'Lo was an all-star, but he wasn't. And he felt kind of bummed about that. So I guess Kobe got a sense of that, like just as, you know, his intuition, right? The elder statesman is intuition. So he calls him up and he tells him, you don't need media people and fans to validate your worth. I know you're an all-star. And he said, like, he tried to keep it inside. But when he hung up the phone, he got really emotional that, you know, his hero had told him, you're an all-star. You don't need to prove anything to anybody. And it was just, you know, it was kind of written in the stars, unfortunately, John, when that happened. And me and Joe were talking about that, is you're going to see a lot of this down the road, is that there's going to be a lot of Kobe disciples decide to wear the purple and gold, because usually when the Lakers call your agent and they say they're interested, if you say no, it's rare they ever call you again. It's really, really rare. So when it happened to Trevor Ariza, he got lucky. But rarely do you ever get a second call that says the Lakers want to sign you. So you need to take advantage of that opportunity. And Spence has.
It's an interesting subject, too, because Kobe's line, God rest his soul, is if you have to be convinced to be a Laker, then you're not. Now, Trevor Ariza is folks, it's a very, very important piece of information for you to always know. There's always exceptions to the rule. Now, that could be rationalization danger zone, because rationalization, human beings can rationalize. That's what makes them human. It can go both ways, really bad, really good, right? Trevor Ariza was one of those guys that I would take a second call on. Why? Because he was so integral in that 2009 run. He's a great team player, just a great talent. And the second best trade that Mitch Kupchak made, I should say third, but it's second because it's a trade that actually went through and it benefited us. The second best trade he ever made was the Chris Paul trade, which, by the way, we're still going to have a show on that on the nightcap with EJ, Empire Jeff, to explain the real story behind that. So stay tuned for that. We will all let you know. Trevor made a mistake. Now, this is 2009. He's trying to get his money. I get it. However, I want to thank Trevor Ariza, because he helped the Lakers win again in 2010. Now you might be wondering, what the hell are you talking about? He wasn't playing for the Lakers in 2010. No, what he did was, by being that guy and his agent screwing that up,
David Lee,
they were able to then go and get Ron Artest. If Ron Artest does not play in the 2010 NBA Finals, he does not contain Paul Pierce for all but one game in that series, and the Lakers do not win the championship. So kudos to Trevor Ariza. Kudos to David Lee. Sometimes be careful what you wish for. You might get it. And in this case, we were wishing for it. We didn't get it. And we ended up getting another championship because of it. Life is very weird, folks. It's not hard. It's weird. That's how I look at it. It's a very weird, weird existence. We are one of a billion that make it through. And a lot of us don't make it through that long on top of it. So there's a lot of things that can happen. And this is a mundane subject. This is sports. This isn't life, you know, trying to pay your bills and trying to maintain relationships. So at that point, you know, looking at now, we have been critical of the Lakers three quarters of the way. Why are we critical? Because we knew they could play like this before. And by them playing like this before, it would have saved the precipitation now. Saying Rui's injured, saying this guy's injured. Look, we've been dealing with injuries all year. Still got to play. Still got to play well. Still got to shoot. Still got to do this stuff. And we knew they were capable of this, but they didn't turn it on here until really beginning of the year. You saw D'Angelo. You saw Austin doing their thing. Rui finally came back healthy. AD and LeBron were doing their thing. And then slowly they all start to improve more and more. And then you start seeing more positive games by Torian Prince. Spencer Dinwiddie starts shooting a little bit better. Hey, look, we'll take what we can get at this point. So let's just win out and let's go make a run.
Let's do it. Let's do it. And then just to answer some questions that we got here in the chat, I'm trying to see where, built different. I really like the way you spelled different, but anyway, he said, if Bronny goes anywhere at all, where do y'all think he'll land? I don't watch much of college basketball, so I'm going to give this disclaimer right now. But I do want to say I did go get to check out Bronny live because I got to go see him when he played against Cal Berkeley. Berkeley's not too far from where I'm at. And I got to see him live, and he was a good basketball player. Like, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he was NBA level. And also the biggest thing that I noticed from what I saw, and again, this is all a one-game sample. I only watched the NBA, so I'm not really digging into his college fouls or whatnot. But what I do know is the fact that, like, he just plays the right way, right? So, like, you know, he'll get the ball, he'll grab it, you know, triple threat, look at the hoop, look for the right pass. If not the right pass, he'll pass the ball and cut through. He'll just play the right way. And a lot of times, like, players who are just, like, exponentially great, like LeBron, when he was in high school I know he didn't go to college, but when he was around the age that Bronny was, he didn't always have to make the right play because he was just that much better than everybody else that he would just be like, yo, well, the right play is me putting the ball on the ground and going to get a bucket. That's the right play, regardless of what the offense is. But Bronny couldn't really say the same thing. But also at the same time, like, I feel bad for the kid. Like, the kid, like, honestly, guys, I was at the game. Every time he would get the ball, every time the whole crowd, boo. The second he passes it off to one of his teammates, like Isaiah Collier, crowd is just regular. Crowd doesn't really care. So, like, he has just the world of expectations on him because of who his dad is, but also just, like, the world already hating on him, like, for no reason. He's a 19-year-old kid getting booed in sold-out arenas. But as far as the question, though, I don't know where the kid will go, though. But it'll be clearly nepotism if he gets drafted.
Sean, you want to attack this first, or should I?
You go ahead, Joe.
Okay. We talked about privilege since we're talking about this particular subject. We talk about how funny life can be or how weird it can be. Those who claim privilege, who say that they are not where they want to be because they're not privileged. My kids are privileged more than I am. And my parents before them, and my parents before them, and the parents before them, and the parents before. You're supposed to get better. And when you hear those boos for Bronny, they're booing him because they're upset that he's privileged, that he came up easy. Mind you, most of those guys all came up easy too. They're all full of garbage. But he's rich because that's how people define privilege. Oh, he's rich. Oh, he gets whatever he wants. And when those who are privileged suffer in any way, because it makes people feel good, they're going to tout it and they're going to jump on it and they're going to champion it, because there's so many other dick faces out there that are just like them, that are jealous, that are scummy.
As John's daughter is currently in the shot.
I don't think she can hear us.
She cannot hear us. Good.
And this is the result. And I want to make it very clear. And I want to make it very clear how pathetic and disgusting you people are who boo someone because they were fortunate enough to grow up privileged. Because they'll do it to anybody, right? Especially, I think the irony that the people in the Bay Area doing that, I think that's really, really funny.
Yes.
That's hilarious that somebody over there would actually even think that way. Now, my irritation with Bronny James and this whole fiasco is I have desperately tried to keep the tabloid reality TV garbage away from sports, because sports is the only thing left that actually warrants true talent. When you start to draft players because of who they are and to get some kind of compensation for it, I'm just not going to have any respect for you, and I am going to destroy you verbally. And there's nothing you can say that could combat it. What are you going to say? Hey, wait a minute. You should be nicer. No, I'm not going to be nice. He's not an NBA player. And the fact that he's not getting advice to stay at USC and get better only goes to show you how selfish the people around him are.
Yes. Okay. Great point.
Don't tell me I don't know about how this works. I'm a father. I have children. And you need to put your children in the best position possible. And that's not happening here. We have to discuss the fact that if this guy was Bronny Smith, we wouldn't even know who he was, and he wouldn't even be playing at USC.
Agreed.
So when I hear privilege, be careful. Be careful when you start using words that I know I can go back at you on and say, privilege, what is that? Opportunity. Privilege, opportunity, equality, all this stuff starts to rear its head to those who yell it, scream it, and then when it's their turn, I don't hear it. Be careful. I'm going to call you out. I don't care. I don't get hurt feelings. I don't talk out of line when I don't know what the subject is. If I know the subject, and I'll tell you what I do know very well, bullshitters. I know
those very familiar very with well, them.
Okay? You're not going to win that one. You'll win an argument if you're talking astrophysics. Absolutely. I don't know jack squat about astrophysics. I'm going to sit there, try to cross my legs. My legs are too big. And I'll listen. But man, hypocrisy, BS, you rear your head there and you're toast. So to end the discussion of your question, before Sean takes over and gives his modest opinion, I'm sure it will be, I am going to enjoy the Lakers season right now and prepare myself to have to deal with this stupid-ass question after that for months.
Yes.
Because the Lakers already blew a golden opportunity last year to bring in talent in the draft without having to spend too much money, and they blew it. If you spend a draft pick on someone who's not an NBA player because you want to appease something, you're going to hear F-bombs coming out of my mouth at that point. This is not the YMCA. This is not Fitness 19 basketball. This is the NBFNA league, the greatest league in the world. Do not come with me with any of this BS. Go take your privilege somewhere else, okay? There's a CBA that no one knows about. There's Euroball. There's the Chinese Basketball Association, whatever the hell it's called. Send him over there if he doesn't want to play in college. That's it. It's getting exhausting listening to this shit. It really is.
Sean?
I agree with Joe about 98% of the time, and you know, that was 99% in agreement. I don't think he should declare for the draft at all, John.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should re-enter and enter the portal. Somebody will take him. I think the best bet for him, and this is just being straight up, because I think, you know, first of all, you're going to always wonder about the medical, because he's been through already a serious cardiac event. So that's number one. And it's unfortunate that it happens to a lot of young athletes. But I think if he spends another year training, John, and he comes out with like a good medical, I think that'll quell a lot of people's worry as far as his conditioning and whether or not he could play at the NBA level. Secondly, I think he needs to go to a mid-major. I understand you're LeBron's son, you've got privilege, you're going to go to, you know, a Pac-10 but the fact is that, John, since you don't watch college basketball, I'll ask Joe and in the comment section. Joe, what do you think are the two best conferences for college basketball? I would say the SEC and the ACC.
You're on mute.
Sorry. As of right now, yes.
Yeah.
I would have said the Big East because of UConn and a lot of good teams there. But, yeah. You know, you're starting to see SEC teams start to come up. Alabama, Clemson, they're starting to engulf basketball now too, not just football.
Yeah, and you know what, John? I don't think Bronny would have made any team in the top 25 that's either an SEC or an ACC team. I wouldn't see him being in the top 8. So I think he needs to go to a mid-major. Now, whether or not he wants to stay on the West Coast and go to a place like Oakland or St. Mary's, or maybe you want to go to Duquesne, as Sean Harder was speculating in the comment section that, yeah, it's LeBron's former coach is at Duquesne. You can kind of bring him in, kind of try and mold him into a better shooter. Or maybe go to like a Florida Atlantic. I think that would bode well for him, Sean, because other than shooting, I agree with you. He's a pretty good basketball player. He can play as a connective tissue on the court. He's a pretty good passer. He's got fairly good instincts. Positionally, he's 6'3". What is he, 180 pounds?
I'll double check on that right now.
So positionally, he's all right. Like, he's not a fish out of water there. But the shooting is questionable at best and porous, I think. So he really needs to work on that shot.
6'4", 210. That's what he is.
Oh, 210. Okay.
That's what he's listed at.
Okay. So, yeah, he's not a fish out of water when it comes to positional strength there. But, yeah, he needs a better shot. If he really wants to make the NBA and try and be, either top 10 or top 8 in rotation, his shot needs to get a lot better. And wide open shots, especially because he was he was murky at best. You know, coming out of high school, a lot of people were saying, well, his shot's getting better, it's progressing. But you saw it against better competition, wasn't good. So, you know, I think the best bet for him would be to go to a mid-major, work on that shot for a year, and then redeclare for the draft.
Kurt said, I would draft John over Brian. Kurt, my basketball expertise stopped at the community college level, and then, but yeah, I mean, hey, I would love to be drafted though, man, guys, talk about a great show and talk about a great win for the Lakers. For anybody that is just joining us here now, the Lakers got their fourth straight win, beating the Cleveland Cavaliers 116-97. Joe, Sean, and I just honestly went on for about an hour and 20 to just talking all about this game. Got into a little bit of Black presidents and talked a little bit about
Black guy. Easy.
Black guy, yes. We talked about Bronny, and we talked about it.
Nicely
all.
Toasted guy.
the guy of darker descent.
The darker descent guy.
You guys crack me up, man.
That's what this is supposed to be. This is supposed to be a fun show. And we do go off the rails, which is probably why we have a good audience. We just needed a little more color. Thank you for joining us, John.
No problem. and a big shout out to one of my favorite Lakers of all time, Michael Cooper. Coop finally gets elected into the Hall of Fame. It took way too damn long.
Another guy of darker descent.
Yes, it took way too damn long. Was with Showtime for every single finals victory. Every single one. The other two guys who were there the whole time already got in. He should have got in a lot sooner than he did. One of the best defensive players of all time. You know, if I needed a stop in a huge game, there's a handful of guys I'd pick, and he'd be one of them. So shout out to Coop. Well deserved, and it's glad that it happened while he's still with us, because oftentimes players who retired and wait 30 years, John, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, life, like Joe said, life takes a weird turn, and sometimes guys don't end up getting their kudos while they're still here. So we're still able to give Coop his flowers for the career that he had, and a Laker for life, another one. So congratulations to Coop.
Oh man, absolutely love that little spiel. Thank you for that, Sean, and for everybody out there tuned in. Thank you for everybody being here for the whole hour and 20 minutes. We still got 50 people in here active live. Appreciate all you guys. Once again, Lakers got the win 116-97 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Stay tuned for Joe's nightcap at 8 p.m. Pacific or 8 p.m. Joe's time, however you want to look at it. 8 p.m. be there or be square. You see the finger. As for me, appreciate you guys always tuning in, checking me out. Clutch Talk, NBA talk show, dropping 2 episodes per week. Lakers Corner, YouTube, our podcast, Spotify, get at me. But as for now, guys, great Lakers win. And we will catch you guys tomorrow for the Lakers versus Timberwolves game. For now, we're out of here. Peace.